Okay, hey everyone. I'm Sam Verlaine. I live around here. I gave this talk as an introduction to a food camp session, a food style session at the Mentors Summit, the Google Summer of Code Mentors Summit last year, just to get some ideas off people. And I've updated it with a lot of ideas from what's come out of that. At least updated what I'm going to say, not the slides. Okay, so. People talk a lot about what Web 2.0 is, say things that are nice about it, like it, catchphrases like it gets better the more people that use it. And these things all come from Tim O'Reilly's talk. I used Tim O'Reilly's OSCON presentation of how many years ago it was as a reference for this. Looking at service-oriented versus software-oriented industries. So part of the whole shift is, okay, we've moved away from being focused on selling software and packaging software licenses to providing a service that the users like and trying to get people to use it that way. You don't have all the problems with contracts and stuff like that. Right, so that Web 2.0, but what in general is Web X point Y? Well, what does it mean? It means nothing really, but it means... The implication is that if there's a major version increment, it's a revolutionary change. And what I'm saying is, well, let's use the minor version number, which no one else seems to be using, for an evolutionary change. So there's problems with social networks, as I see them. I don't think I'm alone for a lot of these. It might get better the more people that join, but it can get scarier too. We've got things like... But basically, a lot of surveillance happening online of things like Facebook, and people have a reasonable expectation to be somewhat private. Also, there's the privacy issues of you giving away your information. You know, if you get a Facebook application that some quiz, why do you need a quiz? Or why do I need to submit all my data about what events that I've attended or refused in the past just to fill out a form? You know, I don't want to have to give that permission out. Other problems are the sites can go down, it doesn't automatically get resilient the more users that use it, and they tend to not be open source, which means that features that people like get removed. Okay, so, or things that you'd really like never get added, because they want to draw you into their sites to sustain their business model, because they're not selling you a piece of software, they're selling you a service. Okay, so these are all... These are all the differences between them. What I've been trying to drum up support for is the idea of adding another layer into the stack here. Now, in the context of this presentation, you could sort of think as this bottom bit, and this is why it's sort of relevant to this session, is that the bottom part of the stack where the database. Of a typical application stack, the database is sort of on the network or collaborated on over the network. So this is why I saw a bit of synergy between this idea I've been trying to get people interested in and Google Wave. So one of the things that I think is essential to make this work is to actually get a decent distributed database out there. One that could be used by a real database, such as Postgres, MySQL, something like that, as a table store. It has to be that good, but it has to also be able to take the updates that you do to the database and quite happily synchronize them without them having to be real time. There's certain things that you can't... In any distributed system, there are three things you can have... you can have consistency, availability, or tolerance to network partitions. It's called the CAP theorem. And so that's something that's kind of fundamental about the nature of distributed data, and that no technology is really going to achieve that, so we think. I'm not talking about that, but whatever standard it is, it should be able to work in all three of modes, where you decide that you don't care about the system working when you've got partitions, or you decide that you don't care about consistency, and so you make a compromise to obtain the other two. I'm actually looking at... I'm hoping to get something that could be RFC-backed out of all this. And then if it's RFC-backed, you know, if some kind of transport for this, like Wave, could also be RFC-backed, then you've got a kind of generic application stack that you could use to make any program that relies on a relational store. And it doesn't even have to be relational. It could be, it could use like a row and a column in a row. Your column value might be, here's a great big horrendous document with links in it to other objects, and then you've actually got a network database like CouchDB or something like that. But if it supports the relational data model as well, then you've got a greater scope for being able to port applications to this distributed platform. As a bit of an exercise exploring the idea, I took the Web 2.0 meme map and tried to come up with ideas about how things would be different if instead of having a central server that you're sending all your service data to, the application is something that you run and you send updates to your friends, and it's the state of the application as held by your friends that's important, and not the central state. So you don't need a central server. If that's the case, instead of trusting your users, it's trusting your friends. Because things can happen offline, it implies that instead of having, so in terms of Wikipedia, instead of having the most current version is the most correct, you would have to have some kind of way of having peer review of ideas, or filtering of ideas, because if different people work on it and they're all offline at the time, when they combine their ideas, you have to face the problem of dealing with disagreements. Without just having one that's sort of the flag version as being the most current. But there are other interesting implications that one, especially around free speech. So in terms of blogs at the moment, you've got these great big free blog hosting sites, but they can get easily firewalled out of certain countries, or they can be targets for being shut down. But that information is being propagated to all of the people who are reading the information. So surely we should be able to figure something out so that they can become more resilient the more people that use them. To relate this to Wave, it would be like your ISP would run a Wave server, and you'd expect them to run a Wave server for you, and you'd expect that to collect the information of the distributed applications that you're running, so that it doesn't matter if another one gets taken down, you've still got a copy of it and you can still potentially participate in a Wave or in the distributed application with more people. So I won't really go through. I mean, this was the result of a brainstorming session with a bunch of people around it in a food camp. These are just my ideas on them. One of the key things to get is that if you're following someone, like if you're following the tweets or something, what that implies is that you're mirroring their content. You're mirroring their public content because you want to look at it. We were talking before about with a federated Wave service, it would mean you'd have to have a copy of that Wave to work. And so with more copies of it out there, the more followers you have, the more places there are to go to get that information. And when you make that a two-way relationship, what you're saying is that the original source is going to acknowledge this other person as somehow being part of the cloud. In blogs, you see that by people saying, "My friends; these are my friends," and so that that person's blog becomes sort of part of their wider conversation. In GitHub, when you fork a project, it will show it will show up on the original project as listed as a fork. These things, I think, should be built into the technology layer. I think these are common set of metaphors that Wave seems to be attacking at these problems in a very sort of different angle to the where I've been coming at them from. And so this is why I want to sort of keep bringing this up. In a distributed data sense, the idea is that it's your email, it's your Wave, it's your data. It's not some central site's data. They're making a service that will be useful to people who use that application. Now, that's sort of getting out of the way of people using your application, so that instead of it being a toll gate every time you use their site, instead of paying for it every month, instead of paying for it for some quite essential services, they're just maybe providing something that's useful for related reasons because of the community they're providing it to. But the service itself, because people run it on their own machines, and because they're holding the data, it's almost like there's nothing for that central point to do. They've written the software, they've published it. It's possibly free. It's a different model of business, slightly different from 2.0. And that was the real difference between 2.0 and 1.0, as Tim O'Reilly put it. It wasn't really about the technology. It wasn't really about Ajax. Social networks were a part of it, but it was really about a different way of doing business. So trying to make it a lot easier to get involved. And one of the in the original Web 2.0 spiel that O'Reilly put up, he made the comparison of all these different photo sites and describes why each of them is more, why it was a radical difference that was built around A, social networks, and B, a change in the way that you do business models, just not get in people's way so much. That's probably a better way of putting that, but I took this table and I thought, well, what if you were to decentralize these applications, how would they change? For instance, for a photo sharing, instead of, some people don't like putting their photos on Flickr because they're there for the world to see. Maybe they don't want to give them to the world, but people do want to share their photos with their friends. So people have been using things like Facebook. They seem to like Facebook's photos more because of the privacy option that they can set it to friends only or friends of friends only. In this kind of environment, with a decentralized system, basically your friends would be copying your photos off you. Obviously, people aren't online all the time. People would have to. You probably likely still go to your ISP's server for this kind of service, but it would. The information would not be held by people who design and run the service. It would mostly be your friends, and probably for things like photos, people like having ready access to the photos, so they might have something that would download them for them automatically. This was really more to set the scene for an open conversation. This is sort of where the fixed part of it ends. I mean, when Tim O'Reilly made his talk, that Twitter wasn't on the scene then, but it's kind of interesting that that there are services like Twitter which are decentralized. Identica is an example of an application which fits this decentralized but yet social paradigm, because you can set up your own Identica now. The software that runs Identica, StatusNet, yeah. So you can set up your own StatusNet server, and it doesn't have to be Twitter, it doesn't have to be Identica, and they can still all kind of mesh together. Another actual good example of a decentralized application is the PGP key database. It's a bit geeky, that, so it's not really a very good example. It doesn't make any money either. It's just a key store. So the thing that I'm kind of interested in doing mostly is getting the distributed database thing nailed out and figuring out what the right way to do this is in terms of the application stack. Seeing the games that are being made on Waves made me think, well, they're kind of just multiplayer state editors for game state. Well, I want to do the same thing, but for a generic table store. Is that going to be easy, or is that going to be hard? So, does anyone have any ideas, or something they might? Does it spark any ideas? Yep. Okay, so the comment was that surely someone's looked at this kind of thing before. And that's right, they have. Distributed applications and just distributed state. There's lots of data replication systems. One of the system I work on at Catalyst is a multi-master application. So I'm aware of some of the problems for this and how they're approached in the literature, and that's why I mentioned the CAP theorem. I just don't think it's a problem that there's necessarily been a use case for until now. We're sort of seeing the rise of distributed applications, and people are only just kind of building them, but they're building them in a centralized way, because there's you've got your people. That fundamentally they're interacting with their friends, but it's all going through one central place. So I do hope to get as much as I can from the literature.
In each data tuple in the database, you could have a value, like a, I guess it would be akin to a row in a table. Sorry, a column. With who's provided that data or whose version of the data is that.
Yeah.
So, and then the application could decide about how you merge conflicting versions of the same data.
Yeah. So, well, merging conflicting information in a generic sense is always a application-specific problem. And if the application hasn't... if they haven't actually provided a rule for that conflict resolution, then you're going to have to bounce the update. I thought about putting like I saw those blips before, and I thought, well, maybe you could put state in those blips. But the problem is that you have to have a transaction updates a whole bunch of stuff or nothing. If that doesn't work, then the transaction is not necessarily valid. You can't necessarily encapsulate a series of updates. Like a delta in if you're editing text might just be insert text, remove text. But in a generic sense on a database, it's more you've taken some information and done some processing and you've emitted some changes. If anyone else has come along and made changes to, and they've since you started, they've committed a transaction which changed the rows that you looked at, or they've changed the same rows you have. Those two cases need to be dealt with. So you've got to, in a sense, be able to serialize not just the changes that you made, but also all of the locks that you took out. on while you did that transaction, so that you can know whether or not that transaction can apply to your data successfully or not. So what I'm actually building at the moment is based on someone mentioned SD before. So it's a similar sort of system to Prophet that runs is, and I'm just taking a file system state, chucking rows and files, putting schema objects in there as well, and then sort of when you commit, it will store the locking information that you have, so that you can decide if you receive a transaction from someone, can I merge that, or will I need application specific help to resolve the situation, or will I need to reject it?
I think I agree with you that those decisions should be done in the application. Then the application can decide if petitioning is important or availability is important, as you said earlier.
Yeah. So I don't know if this is actually even a wave thing or not. I just thought I'd bring it up and bounce some ideas and absorb through the whole thing. So thank you for giving me time to speak.
Are there any other questions for Sam? Thank you very much.